Ciao, everyone. I'm Jacqueline DiGiorgio, and welcome back to the Milanophiles, my podcast unearthing the food, beverage, and lifestyle culture in and around Milan, my adopted city and Italy's best unkept secret. The Sanremo Italian Song Festival came and went, starting on Tuesday, February 7th, and concluding on Saturday, February 11th. So for this week's episode, I thought I'd remain a bit fuori strada or off course, where I veered last week, to follow up on the previous episode. Today, I thought I'd give a recap of this year's edition and share my thoughts. A couple of things they did differently. This year, there were 28 artists in gara or competing, three more than last year. And those three additional artists came from the Sanremo Giovani contest for young new talent that took place at the end of last year. Also, the way the festival worked in previous years is that on the fifth and final night, they would collect the votes and they would announce the classifications from last place through fourth. They would then announce the top three artists in no particular order. The artists perform their songs again. Then voting opens up once more to determine the rankings for the top three. And they all would start again from 0 points. This year, they did a top five instead of a top three. And that, coupled with the three additional artists, resulted in a long finale. I didn't watch it in real time because it runs so late, and I'm thankful for that because I fast forward through much of it. To give you an idea, it begins at 8:45 or 9 o'clock at night, and the final recording on the Rai Player app was over 5 hours long, and that one on the app is commercial free, so it's safe to say that the finale lasted over 6 hours. In addition to the Italian guest performers, notable ones from further afield included the Black Eyed Peas and Depeche Mode. Måneskin, who are Italian, came back to the festival again this year, and they performed, and they were joined by Tom Morello, the guitarist featured in their song Gossip. The Ukrainian band Antitila, I hope I said that correctly, performed, and the host Amadeus read a moving letter to the Italian people penned by Vladimir Zelensky, in which he invited the Sanremo winner to Kyiv on Victory Day. And another thing, Sanremo is famous for its flowers. In fact, it's located on the leg of the Italian Riviera, nicknamed the Riviera dei Fiori, or the Riviera Flowers. Traditionally, they always presented the women artists, performers, or conductors with flowers. Last year, when I was watching it, I said to myself, thank God this isn't my native America. The festival will be canceled for giving flowers only to women. And let me clarify that I say this as someone who does not support cancel culture in any way, shape, or form. But as the festival soldiered on last year, more women were asking for flowers for the men, say if they performed a duet together or whatnot. By the final night, they were giving flowers to everyone. This year, it was flowers for everyone from night one, and that's probably how the festival will continue. Chiara Ferragni was a guest host on the first and final nights. I like her, and I thought she was fine. She definitely seemed more comfortable on the last night than she did on the first, and that's to be expected. She's not a TV host. She got a lot of unnecessary nastiness spewed her way on the socials, and I'm not saying people can't criticize her, but these days, thanks a good part to the social networks, there's a fine line between criticism and cruelty, and I'm just not down with the latter. I'm not a fashion person, so I'm not going to critique her outfits. She's gorgeous, she looked lovely, and if you want to see her outfits for yourself, just head to her Instagram account. So, anyone who follows the festival knows that Marco Mengoni won with the song Due Vite, or Two Lives. The last I heard, he hadn't yet decided if he's going to represent Italy in the Eurovision Song Contest, as the winner of Sanremo earns the right of first refusal to perform at Eurovision. I like him a lot. He can certainly sing, and I thought it was a beautiful song indeed, but he wasn't my pick for the winner. Funnily enough, every Italian person I spoke to was all about Mengoni. In fact, I was at lunch on Saturday, and an Italian said, "Se non vince Mengoni, cambio paese," meaning if Mengoni doesn't win, I will change countries. I thought this was curious from a cultural perspective. The festival plays a huge part in Italian life, and it's so important to the Italian people. They grew up Italian, and they grew up with the festival, and they all not only predicted Mengoni as the winner, but he was their genuine favorite. So my Sanremo top three comprise Colapesce and Di Martino with their song Splash. They would have been my pick for the winner. And, in no particular order, Ultimo with the song Alba or Dawn, and Cugini di Campania with the song Lettera 22, or Letter 22. I've been obsessed with Colapesce and Di Martino since they competed in 2021 with their song Musica Leggerissima. Yes, the song I overplay in my Instagram stories. Splash is a noir romance song of sorts that has these somewhat nostalgic vibes. Parts of it for me recall the rock music from the 60s and 70s. I'm not playing any song clips on here because I know there are copyright issues, so I don't even want to risk any legal issues by taking a sip out of that drink. Ultimo is just brilliant. When he sings, the words are just catapulted out of his mouth by emotion, and it resonates. His song Alba or Dawn is a ballad that represents a longing for a better life, a better reality. It's terribly beautiful, and I'm not going to lie. Listening to it actually gets me a bit choked up and brings a tear to my eye, or depending on my mood, several tears to my eyes. Cugini di Campania is a pop group from the 70s and 80s that reemerged every now and then over the last few decades. Their song, Lettera 22, is about love, and it's at once melancholy and hopeful. It was written by La Rappresentante di Lista, or Veronica Lucchesi, and Dario Mangiaracina, a pop duo that I adore. It has a disco 70s feel to it, and I love that it makes me nostalgic for an era that predates my existence. I also loved Mr. Rain and his song Supereroi, or Superheroes. A group of children joined him to sing the song's refrain, and I loved it. I have a 3-year-old nephew, and when he sings, it makes my heart sing. So this performance reminded me of my nephew singing, and it just made my heart melt. Other memorable songs for me were Tango by Tananai, Il Bene Nel Male, or The Good and the Bad by Madame, Furore, or Fury by Palanchiara, L'Addio, or The Goodbye by Comecose, Due Mille Minuti, or 2,000 Minutes by Marasette, and Made in Italy by Rosa Chemical. The penultimate night of the festival, the artists performed cover songs with a guest. My two faves were, surprise, surprise, Colapesce Di Martino, who were joined by Carla Bruni, yes, the former First Lady of France, to sing a song called Azzurro, and Marco Mengoni, who was joined by the Kingdom Choir, a London-based British gospel choir, and they performed Let It Be by the Beatles. And alas, someone always has to come in last place, and this year it was Setu. But he placed second behind Marco Mengoni in Fanta Sanremo, a fantasy game that I don't fully understand the ins and outs of, but I do know that, as implied by its name, it's a virtual game. It originated in 2020, and it's a phenomenon. Over 1.6 million people participated this year. So all's well that ends well for Setu. And that's all I've got. As usual, you can find the links to the sources I used for this episode in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to the Milano Files, and alla prossima.